Don't forget, Eddie Cantor will be Master of Ceremonies on the Texaco Star Theater this Wednesday night, January 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The Columbia Workshop presents Mr. Whipple is Worried, a slightly screwy comedy by James Frederick.
Miss, I have an appointment to see Dr. Complex. My name is Whipple, Oliver Whipple.
Just a minute, Mr. Whipple. I'll find out if the doctor will see you now. There's a Mr. Whipple to see you, Doctor. Yes, Doctor. Go right in, Mr. Whipple.
Thank you.
How do you do, Mr. Whipple? Sit down in that chair and make yourself comfortable. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, Doctor, they told me you were the best psychiatrist in the city, so that's why I came to you. Doctor, I'm going crazy.
Oh. Pull yourself together, Mr. Whipple. Now, tell me all about your trouble.
Well, it all started one night last week, Doctor. I had a fight with my girl, Mabel. She told me she didn't want to see me anymore, and I can tell you, Doctor, I was feeling pretty low when I went up to my room.
I can well understand that, Mr. Whipple.
Well, I was trying to figure out some way to make Mabel want to see me again. I was pacing the floor up and down, up and down, up and down, and then, well, Doctor, you know that statue called The Thinker by Rodin? The guy without any clothes on holding his head in his hand?
Yes, I'm familiar with Rodin's Thinker.
Yes, well, I have a little bronze replica of that statue standing on my bureau. Oh, I guess I really didn't notice what I was doing, but I picked up that statue and I said to him, "You're always thinking so much. What would you do about Mabel?" And was I surprised, Doctor, when he answered me and he said,
"Oliver Whipple, you're a dope."
Well, Doctor, that got me mad. I said right back at him, "Who's a dope?" And he said,
"You are."
And I said, "Oh, yeah?" And he said,
"Yeah."
All right, then, you're so smart. What would you do about Mabel?
Simple, Whipple, simple. First thing in the morning, send her a big box of flowers. Then in the afternoon, send her candy. Then in the evening, send her a telegram saying, "You can never know how sorry I am. I know I was wrong. Can you ever forgive me? Hopefully, Oliver." Whipple, if that doesn't fix things up between you, you can melt me down into ashtrays.
But why should I send her a telegram like that? She started it. It was her fault.
Whipple, I guess you just don't understand women like I do.
Well, how do you know so much about them?
What else do you think I've been thinking about all these years?
And it was at that moment, Doctor, that I noticed I had been talking to a statue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting case, Whipple. But then, what did you do?
I just looked him in the eye and I said, "Say, how come you're talking?" Well, he laughed and he said,
"You never asked me a question before."
Yes, but you can't fool me. I know statues can't talk. Why, I must be going nuts.
Whipple, I said it before and I say it again. You're a dope. Of course I can talk when anybody has sense enough to ask me a question.
I can't believe that. Why don't you talk to everybody?
You see, we statues are only in sympathy with certain human beings.
But why pick on me? What did I ever do to deserve being half scared out of my wits like this?
Whipple, you have some of the best mental qualities of a statue.
What are you trying to tell me? That I'm part statue?
Well, as long as you put it that way, yes.
Well, Doctor, that was too much for me. I grabbed my hat and coat and ran out of the house and just wandered around for hours and hours trying to think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me, did anything happen while you were out walking?
Yes. Yes, Doctor. I was meandering through a park when I saw the statue of a lady. Oh, she was part of a fountain and she was surrounded by a lot of little cherubs with wings. Oh, I was very brave about it. I walked right up to her and I said, "Lady, can you talk?"
"That I can, big boy, and it certainly is a relief to have a big, strong, handsome man like you to speak to after all these years with nothing but these angels crawling all over me, the little brats. Hey, come back here."
Oh, Doctor, I couldn't stand it. I just ran away.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's really an amazing case, this. Really amazing.
Do you think there's any way to bring back my sanity?
What do you do for a living?
Well, I work for P.J. Full and Company stockbrokers down in Wall Street.
That's not a very imaginative job, is it? Oh, by the way, did you follow that statue's advice about what to do to get back on good terms with your girl?
Yes, yes, I did. And it worked, too. Now Mabel wants to get married soon, and, oh, Doctor, I can't marry her knowing that I'm not completely sane.
Well, Mr. Whipple, I don't think you have anything to be worried about. No other statues have talked to you since that night, have they?
Doctor, I've been afraid to even look at a statue since then.
I think I know what's wrong with you. You have an overactive imagination, which is due in part to your being engaged in an unimaginative conversation. Repression and all that sort of thing. Your agitation over your quarrel with your fiancée just acted as a fuse to set you off. You can rest assured that you are perfectly sane. I don't believe you'll be troubled anymore. And my fee is $25.
Oh, you've reassured me a little, Doctor. But I'm still a bit worried.
Nonsense, Whipple. Well, you're as sane as I am. Wait a minute. I have an idea. Go over to that bust of Shakespeare in the corner and talk to him. That should be proof enough for you.
Yes, that should prove it. One way or the other. Hello there, Shakespeare, old man. You agree with what the doc has been saying?
The old bird is right about your not being a screwball, but his reasoning is pretty putrid.
Did you hear anything, Doctor?
No, I can't say as I did. And my fee is $25.
And you say I'm perfectly sane?
Definitely, Mr. Whipple. Definitely. My fee is...
Well, I think maybe I'd better see a couple of other psychiatrists. Here's 10.
Mm-hmm.
It can't do any harm to get a couple of opinions in a serious matter like this. Here's 20.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes 25.
Dr. Breakdown, we'll see you now.
Oh, Dr. Breakdown, I think I'm going crazy. It all started the night I had a fight with my girl.
Whipple, you couldn't be saner.
Oh, but Doctor, don't you think I should be in an asylum or something? Maybe I'm dangerous.
Pish tush, my dear Whipple, pish tush. And $25.
Dr. Nev Stane, we'll see you now.
Now, Doctor, I'm going crazy. I shouldn't be allowed to walk in the streets. Why, I'm nuts.
Nonsense, Mr. Whipple, you're okay. There's not a bat in your belfry. And,
Yes, I know. $25.
Yes.
Hello, thinker. Can you still talk?
Greetings, Whipple. Certainly I can still talk. Did you think I couldn't?
No, but I was hopeful.
Where have you been lately, Whipple? I haven't seen you up here in your room for a few days.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've been afraid to look at you again. I've been staying at a hotel.
Well, a great big man like you scared of a little 5-pound statue like me. Whipple, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Now, you'd better be careful how you talk. I'm not one to be trifled with in this mood.
Sorry, I was only ribbing you a little. Oh, by the way, how did you come out with Mabel?
Are you referring to my fiancée, Miss Carstairs?
Oh, yes, of course, Miss Carstairs.
That's better. Well, I don't know why, but I followed your advice. She's going to name the day very soon now.
I don't like to boast, Whipple, but it pays to follow the old thinker's advice, doesn't it, pal?
Yes, much as I hate to admit it. I still think I must be crazy to have considered it at all.
Now, don't start that crazy stuff again.
Oh, why did you ever have to start talking to me at all? You don't know how it's worried me. Why, I've been so worried about my sanity that I've gone to consult some psychiatrist.
What did they know that I couldn't have told you?
Well, they told me I was sane, and that I had nothing to worry about.
Well, didn't I tell you that?
They said that the only reason I could hear you talking was that my imagination is overactive.
They did they? Overweening popinjays? Whipple, I resent being thought of as a figment of an overactive imagination. I'd like to tell those psychiatrists a thing or two.
Well, I only wish it were true that you were just a figment of my imagination. I might be able to get some sleep these nights.
I'm no figment, and that's all there is to it.
Now, you'd better stop talking. I want to go to bed.
Okay. I'll keep quiet. Anything to please you, pal. Good night.
Just a moment.
Yes, sir.
Before you go to lunch, I want a word with you before you go to lunch.
What is it, Mr. Bull?
Whipple, I've been watching your work lately. It's been distinctly below your usual level. What's wrong?
I'm sorry, Mr. Bull, but I haven't been feeling very well lately. I've been worried a lot.
Something personal?
Yes, sir. It's really something I can't discuss with anyone.
I'm sorry if things haven't been going too well with you of late, but I feel I must warn you that in the stock brokerage business, mistakes are costly.
Yes.
Please remember that.
Yes, Mr. Bull. And I will try to get hold of myself. I think I'll be a little bit better this afternoon. Instead of eating, I'm going to take a walk. Perhaps the fresh air will help me a little.
Catherine, you'll be run over.
Oh, I'm sorry, officer. Why can't I get hold of myself? I'm not going nuts. All the doctor said I'm okay.
Of course you're all right. You're inclined to worry too much.
Who said that?
I did. Who did you think said it? After all, you're leaning against my face. I couldn't help but hear you muttering to yourself.
Oh, why, it's George Washington's statue.
Naturally. Whose statue did you expect to find here in front of the sub-treasury building? Venus de Milo?
Well, I'm sorry if I seem surprised, but I've been wandering around in kind of a daze. How do you know?
You needn't shout. I can hear you quite plainly up here.
Oh, sorry.
I suppose my speaking to you in this unconventional manner must have frightened you. Most people, sir, are not aware the statues can talk.
I am, and they've made me in such a state that I don't know whether I'm deaf or just touched in the head.
No, you're being silly, sir. Why should you think you're crazy when a statue says a few civil words to you? You can feel honored, sir. We don't talk to everybody, you know. We're rather choosy. At least I am.
Oh, I suppose I shouldn't mind it, but I guess I'm just a worrier at heart. Oh, but tell me, why is it only recently that I've been able to talk to you fellows?
Sir, you have just come of age, mentally speaking.
Maybe that does explain it. But I'm still pretty doubtful.
Very well, sir. I abandon you. I give you up. If it'll make you any happier to believe your non-compass mentors, continue.
You know, I think you really understand me.
You flatter me. I don't believe I heard the name.
Who, me? Whipple. Oliver Whipple.
There was some marrow in Whipple.
Oh, well, I'm from Oklahoma, originally.
I see. Mr. Whipple, you could do me a great favor if you would.
Oh, I'd be glad to do anything within my power.
If it's not too much trouble, would you mind stepping around and chat with me once in a while? I get rather lonely standing here by myself.
Well, I'd be glad to, if it please you. Well, I guess I'll have to be getting back to the office now.
Before you go, here's a bit of a tip for you. You can't go wrong if you buy amalgamated soap chips. All the big fellows are in on it.
They are? How do you know?
Oh, one hears things, sir. No one ever pays much attention to me, but I have my ears open most of the time.
You're sure it's going up?
On the honor of a gentleman. Or may I be cut up into paving stone?
Well, I've only got a little more than $1,000 in the bank. And as long as I'm crazy, I might as well try to beat the market. Well, who knows? Maybe I'll make some money and I'll be able to find a doctor who can cure me. Pardon me, Mr. Bull. Could I speak to you a minute?
I can spare you exactly a minute, Whippo.
Well, Mr. Bull, I figured out that I have enough money to buy 150 shares of amalgamated soap chips on margin. Will you handle my order?
Of course, Whippo, but I wouldn't advise your buying amalgamated. It isn't a very safe investment.
I'm pretty sure it's going up, Mr. Bull.
Naturally, but personally, I'd buy International Metal. That's a good safe stock.
I've made up my mind, Mr. Bull. Amalgamated soap chips.
It's your money, Whippo. It's your money.
I know what I'm doing, Mr. Bull. Or do I? Amalgamated soap chips 11? Why, gosh, it is going up 11.5. Amalgamated 12? Well, I guess George... 13? Washington was right. 14? Why, look at that. 15, 15.5, 6... Oh, dear, I'm making money. Oh, Mr. Washington, can you hear me?
Your servant, Mr. Whipple. Was I right about amalgamated going up?
You certainly were.
Now I advise you to sell that amalgamated as soon as possible. It's going down like a dead eel.
Oh, my soap's going down.
Yes, get out, sell the stuff. I advise you to buy consolidated applesauce.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mr. Washington, and I appreciate your telling me these things.
Oh, it's nothing at all, young man. You do the same for me if you were in my place. By the way, just call me Georgie.
Georgie it is, then. And you just call me Ollie.
Ollie.
Well, so long, Georgie.
So long, Ollie.
Hello there, Mr. Bull.
Well. Take a chair, Whippo. Cigar?
No, thanks. Just dropped in to tell you what to do with my amalgamated.
Certainly you're not going to sell. Why, that stock has only begun to climb.
That's right. I want to sell it. Then buy me as much consolidated applesauce as you can.
Consolidated applesauce? Why, consolidated applesauce is on its last leg.
I'm willing to take a chance.
You mark my words, Whippo. You'll be a ruined man in 48 hours.
Not if I stay crazy, Mr. Bull. Oh, Georgie, did you hear how consolidated applesauce made out today?
Yes, it is. A wager you cleaned up, eh?
Oh, I did, Georgie. Now, about this consolidated applesauce, should I hold it?
Get rid of applesauce, Ollie. It'll go down faster than Civic Virtue's reputation. Buy standard honey. Hold it for a 5-point rise and then sell.
I'll do it, and thanks for the information. Oh, you know, for a crazy man, I've been doing pretty well these past few days. If your tips keep coming through the way they've been doing, I'll be able to quit my job and devote all my time to the market and to you statues.
Well, that'll be most agreeable, sir. You must be careful when you're talking to me. In 1919, an elderly parson used to stop by for a chat occasionally. Some men in white coats took him away.
Oh, I'll be careful. By the way, I was up to City Hall Park yesterday, and I chatted with that statue of Nathan Hale. He has to be remembered to you.
I trust Nathan is good help.
Oh, he says he's getting pretty tired of standing there with his hands tied behind his back.
Really? Tell me, how's Nate looking these days?
Well, he looks a little on the dirty side, I thought. In fact, he said himself that he wished they'd clean.
Frankly, I think I make a rather neat appearance, considering all things.
Oh, I've always thought you looked very distinguished, Georgie.
Well, thank you, young man. By the way, have you been up to talk to my colleague up near Central Park? That statue of me on a horse?
No, I haven't, but I mean to. Oh, incidentally, there's something I would like to know. Do all of you statues of Washington talk and think alike?
We do not, sir.
Oh, excuse me, George. I didn't know that you felt so strongly about it.
Of course I feel strongly about it. You think I want anyone to take my personality and think it's the same as that equestrian egotist?
Why, I thought all those statues got along pretty well together.
We do, sir. That fellow's so conceited, he thinks he's handsomer than I am. Just because they put him on a horse.
Oh, well, then maybe I'd better not go to talk to him. I probably wouldn't like him.
One moment, Ollie. Now, I'm not saying the fellow isn't a fine statue, an uncommonly fine statue, if you care for the military sort of thing. Personally, I prefer the administrative side.
Yes, I think I understand your feelings, Georgie. I never did care so much for horses anyway. Well, I really must be going now, Georgie. I have to tell my broker what you told me. That was standard honey you told me to buy, wasn't it?
That's right. Hold it for a 5-point rise and then sell. Well, so long, Ollie.
So long, Georgie.
Hello, Bull.
Hello there, Mr. Whipple. What can I do for you this lovely day? Take a chair, take a sofa, take a typewriter, make yourself comfortable. I suppose you know you made a tidy little sum on the market yesterday.
Yes, I know, but that was really only the beginning. I want you to sell my consolidated applesauce, buy me standard honey, hold it for 5-point rise, then sell immediately.
Very well, Mr. Whipple.
Oh, yes, Bull. About my job here.
Yes?
I feel I need no longer confine my activities to your organization. I am resigning.
Oh.
Of course, I shall retain your firm as my broker.
Well, of course, we'll hate to lose you, but if you would consider remaining...
Oh, I'm sorry, Bull, but my mind's made up.
Very well, Mr. Whipple.
Good day, and don't forget, hold my honey for a 5-point rise. Oh, and speaking of holding my honey, I must remember to call Mabel tonight.
Goodbye, Mr. Whipple.
Bye-bye, Bull.
Have you heard about this new wizard of Wall Street, Oliver Whipple?
I'll say I have. They say he cleaned up over $1 million in 2 months.
Yes, and he started with less than 2,000.
Yes, Mr. Morgan, this fellow Whipple used to work for us. Of course, you know, we handle all his affairs.
Did you see this picture of Whipple in the paper?
Yes, I did. He doesn't look like a financial genius, does he?
I wouldn't care how I looked if I could call every time the market. I wish I knew how he did it.
Some gentlemen of the press to see you, Mr. Whipple.
Oh, dear, interviews. Very well, show them in, Ezekiel.
Yes, sir. This way, gentlemen.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Whipple? I'm from the Sun.
I'm from the News.
I'm from the Times.
Oh, well, I'm at your service, gentlemen. What would you like to know?
Well, naturally, we want to know how you do it. What's your secret of success in the market?
Yes, Mr. Whipple, give us the lowdown. We promise it won't go no further than our 5 million meters.
Well, it's really very simple, gentlemen. I go down and speak to that statue of George Washington in front of the sub-treasury building, and he tells me what to do.
Oh.
Come, Mr. Whipple.
Yes, you certainly have a sense of humor, Mr. Whipple.
Well, I assure you, gentlemen, I'm telling you the simple truth.
Well, of course, we can't blame you, Mr. Whipple, for keeping your secret.
But, gentlemen, I'm able to talk to statues. Didn't you see my collection of them as you came through the hall?
Yes, we did notice them, and you certainly have some nifty hunks of marble there.
Yes, I'm glad you like them. Oh, I don't know how I'd pass the time in this place if I didn't have my statues to talk to. In fact, some of my best friends are statues.
Come on, boys, let's get out of here. If I didn't know you were a hard-headed businessman, Mr. Whipple, I'd swear you were crazy.
I am.
What?
Crazy. If I wasn't crazy, do you think I'd be playing the stock market? Mabel, I have something very important to tell you.
I have something to tell you, too.
Oh, I think you ought to hear mine first.
Oh, I insist on telling mine first. I set the date, and Mother's going to have the invitations printed tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but I have something to tell you that might make you change your mind.
Oh, Oliver, there's nothing that could do that, I'm sure.
Mabel, do you love me very much?
Why, Oliver, you know I do.
Mabel, do you love me enough to marry me in spite of a certain peculiarity I have?
Oh, you couldn't be too peculiar for me to love.
Oh, I hope what I say will not change your mind. But Mabel, my mentality isn't all that it should be.
But Oliver, everybody says you're a positive genius in the market.
Oh, I knew it would be hard to explain, but you see, I'm afraid I'm a little bit batty.
Oh, don't be silly, Oliver. You're the sanest man I know.
But you don't know the real me. The only reason I've been able to make so much money lately is that I'm crazy.
Oh, Oliver, you're only fooling me, aren't you?
But you know what those reporters wrote about me yesterday.
About you talking to statues. Wasn't that silly?
It's not silly. They thought I was just evading their questions, but it was the truth.
This is carrying a joke too far. You don't expect me to believe that.
No, I suppose not. Nobody believes me. I guess I just look like a liar.
Oh, have I hurt your feelings?
No, Mabel, no. It's all right. You needn't believe me.
Well, wouldn't it make you happy if I did?
Oh, it would, but I know you couldn't.
Well, if you want me to, I'll try.
Oh, thank you, Mabel. You're very kind to try to believe me when I say I'm crazy.
But I won't believe you're crazy. If you can talk to statues, there must be some other reason than insanity. And if you can talk to them, maybe I can talk to them, too.
Why, maybe you're right, Mabel. Oh, but my statue friends tell me that they're very choosy about whom they talk to.
Well, I'm a nice girl with a lovable disposition. Why shouldn't they talk to me?
Well, I don't know, but I'll find out. You come over to my place tonight, and we'll try to make them speak to you.
I'll be there, Oliver.
Hello, Thinker.
How do you do, my little financial wizard? What's new?
Well, Mabel has set the date.
Congratulations, old man.
Oh, thanks. Well, I see you're still thinking.
What else can I do with my head on my hand all the time?
Oh, say, Thinker, why won't people believe me when I say I'm crazy and can talk to statues?
Whipple, do you remember that time I called you a dope? Well, anybody who makes $1 million in a couple of months and then expects people to think he's crazy is still a dope.
Well, what would they believe?
You tell them some yarn about how you spent years studying stock market trends and that you finally found the perfect formula for making money in the market. That's impossible, so they'll believe every word of it.
It's impossible to talk to statues, too.
Are you starting that again?
Oh, I know it's impossible to talk to you fellas, and nobody will believe that.
My dear friend, there are two kinds of impossibility. People are too smart to believe one, and they're too dumb to believe the other.
Well, you're getting a little bit out of my depth there, but I think I see what you're driving at.
I certainly hope you do. I'm very proud of that observation. Took me quite a while to think that one out.
Well, after Mabel told me she set the date, I told her all about talking to you statues.
Did she believe you?
No, not at first, but she said she'd try to believe it, because she loves me, I guess.
Ah.
Oh, there's one thing, Thinker. She wants to see if she can talk to statues, too.
Does she love you very much?
Oh, yes, I believe so. Why?
Well, if she can love you, it's quite possible she may have a mind like a statue, too.
Well, she's coming over here tonight. I'm going to bring her right over here to meet you.
I'd be very glad to meet her. I hope she can hear me.
Thinker. Darling, this is Thinker. Thinker, my fiancée, Miss Carstairs.
How do you do, Mr. Thinker?
How do you do, Miss Carstairs?
Oh, Oliver, I could hear him.
Oh.
He said, how do you do? It's plain as anything.
Oh, boy, am I glad. Now at least one person knows I'm telling the truth.
Oh, you know, Mr. Thinker, ever since Oliver told me about you statues this afternoon, I've been wondering how it's possible for you to talk.
I suppose I should have told Whipple this long ago, but it's been kind of fun making him think he was wacky.
Well, I'm so glad you've been having fun, pal.
It isn't very difficult to understand. Whenever a sculptor makes a statue, he's bound to imprison some of his own personality in the stone or bronze, and also, naturally, he captures some of the personality of his model. So every statue has a personality all his own, which is a composite of his maker and his model.
That does sound rather logical, doesn't it, Mabel?
Yes. But, Mr. Thinker, how is it that you have a voice?
Well, it's not exactly a voice. It's a sort of telepathy. It's pretty hard to explain.
Oh. And now, Oliver, are you satisfied that your sanity is safe?
Oh, yes, Mabel, I am satisfied. Why, now we can get married and live happily among our statues forever after. Oh, and Mabel, just think what a swell honeymoon we're going to have. Why, we'll go around the world and we'll meet all those famous statues we've heard about. The Venus de Milo and the Louvre in Paris, for instance.
I've always wondered whatever happened to her arm.
Yes, and while in Paris, let's look up some of those statues that used to be around the court of Versailles. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get some of the lowdown on Marie Antoinette.
You've got something there, Whipple. And don't think I'm hinting, but I'd like to meet some of those statues, too.
Why, of course we'll take you along. Why, we couldn't be happy on the trip thinking of you back here all alone.
Thanks, Whipple.
And then when we get over to Italy, let's see some of those statues that used to belong to the Borgias. You know, the creature Borgias always fascinated me.
Oh, and me too. And then there's a statue of Lord Nelson at Trafalgar Square in London.
And there must be a statue of the Duke of Wellington somewhere in England.
Yes, oh, and say, that gives me an idea. Let's get a little bus to Napoleon and introduce him to Wellington. Oh, I bet Nappy will have a few things to say about Waterloo.
Maybe we can get a little bus to Washington and introduce him to a statue of George III.
Oh, I can hardly wait to get going. Oh, what? Now we've got nothing to worry about, and are we going to have fun? Are we going to have fun, or are we going to have fun?
Oh. Miss Carstairs, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we were going to have fun.
I've been listening to the Columbia Workshops production of Mr. Whipple is Worried, the first radio play by a new young writer, James Frederick, who chose to call this initial effort a slightly screwy comedy. This play was written especially for the Columbia Workshop. In the cast were Chester Stratton as Mr. Whipple, Teddy Bergman as the Thinker, Frank Reddick as the Statue of Washington, Ed Latimer as Mr. Bull, Jack McBride as Dr. Complex, and Ruth York as Mabel. Other characters were represented by Van Eflin, Cameron Andrews, George Tiplady, and Joan Tetzel. Music was arranged and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the entire production was under the direction of Brewster Morgan. Next Monday night at this same time, the Columbia Workshop will present a dramatic short story by Wilbur Daniel Steele entitled Suit, adapted for radio by Sylvia Marks. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.